Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast. This is episode number 365. My name is Carlos, and I'll be your host for the show. In my first major payday in business, right after my first exit, I bought three things. I can almost taste them. I know exactly where I was when these things happen. The first thing I did was I ran out and I bought a laptop, the newest model Apple laptop they had. I was just biggest, fully loaded. Any feature they sell, I was like, yes, yes, yes. The protective case, a designer leather carry case. I don't think they'd ever sold one in that store. Some ridiculously priced thing. In hindsight, I'm embarrassed by it. But the second thing I bought or invested in, if you will, is I hired an organizational coach. And the third one is I hired a coach to teach me how to build a team. I've talked about this in the past. The book, which I'm drawing a blank on with the name of the book right now, by Chris Ducker, Virtual Freedom. That's the name of the book. I've mentioned it several times in the past. And up until that point, I worked solo from a desktop, shackled to my desk, and I was absolutely miserable. I obviously was aware of the concept of an employee, the employer-employee relationship, but an employee or someone that worked for me, that was something that massive profitable businesses did, not this thing that I have. So that wasn't even something that I was exploring up until that point. So the laptop I bought quickly ended up being discontinued by Apple. It was like the worst model they ever came out with, go figure. The organizational coach is a very long story and maybe the topic for a future episode, but the team building coach, wow. I'm still going back and referencing my learnings from that coach and from those trainings and the book that you could now get, by the way, without paying an arm, leg, and a kidney, called Virtual Freedom. There's an audio version too. It's fantastic. I try to keep that book near me at all times. So in this episode, I'm going to share with you what I learned then and my knowledge accumulated in the trenches over the last 15 years, applying it and molding these learnings or these strategies to my own. So as to when you should hire your first virtual assistant, how to know what role you should hire for and where to hire. But before we get into any of that, in case you're, you know, totally new here and you're like, virtual what? A virtual assistant is somebody, an employee of the company, a partner, a team member that works for your company from a distance, virtually. A lot of the times what comes into mind when somebody hears virtual assistant is, oh, there's somebody from the Philippines that works for you. And yeah, the Philippines is an amazing country to find some amazingly talented people who also speak English. So that's why I think there's a lot of popularity there that can work for your business. But it does not have to be that way. It doesn't have to be, I mean, somebody from the Philippines. You could be anyone in any country. As a matter of fact, I live in Miami, Florida. I could have a virtual assistant that lives in Miami. They work virtually. They don't have to report to an office. There's a lot of flexibility and there's pros and cons. I'm definitely not in this everyone should work from home camp, and you know the productivity you get from that is not the same as you would if it was in person. But there are a lot of roles, most of them, that do not require you to be sitting across a desk looking at somebody else work. So that's what a virtual assistant is. And over time, there's this, almost like the word virtual assistant, or VA, as it's called, has become almost this dirty word that it's almost like third world country, maybe not so smart. And that could not be further from the truth. I mean, you know, my team is like my family to me. They're on my team because they're smarter than me, which is not setting the bar that high, but they are smarter than me. It will allow you to really quickly scale your business. Whereas if you were reliant on that level of talent locally to you, it would probably be cost prohibitive. So if I wanted to get a data analyst to analyze my reports and help me make more real-time decisions in what I should order, what products I should order, what I should reorder, what I should fire sale. Very important role in any of these selling models online. If I wanted to do that locally, I might be talking about $80,000, health insurance, I don't know, the whole gamut. And it's like, wait a minute, I just can't afford that. So one of the side benefits of, not the main one, but one of the side benefits here is you're able to expand your reach as to what sort of talent that you could get a hold of. And that in turn will actually put your business in a position quicker where you could also hire for some of those key roles that is better to have domestically or local. So that's what a virtual assistant is. And the question that most people have is, when should you hire a virtual assistant? Like that's pretty clutch. Before answering that though, it's important to know the why you would be hiring a virtual assistant, you know? And that really stems into what role would that person have? Are you hiring someone for a role in your company, or are you hiring someone to do some tasks? And that's pretty critical. A learning that I learned from the book Virtual Freedom is, or I'm sorry, from the coach, and then later from Virtual Freedom is the exercise, which I highly recommend you do, and you can do this without having read the book, but is to create four lists of, you know, each list. I mean, you could do this on Notion, Trello, paper and pencil, whatever floats your boat. But what you're doing is you're going to create a list of everything you do in your business to manage it, everything you do to grow it. Big difference between the two, manage and grow. Everything you love to do in your business and everything you hate to do in your business. There's going to be some overlap in all of that. But once you've filled out these lists, and this isn't something you sit down and just do in 5 minutes, you'll find yourself having filled out these lists and you're like, there's absolutely nothing else that could go on these lists. But a couple days later, you find yourself, you know, walking a check-in to the post office and you're like, oh my God, I do this twice a month. Goes on the list, no matter how small. And there also will be a little bit of overlap between some of these things will go on multiple lists, like something you love could also be something you do to manage the business. Now, pretty critical at this stage, especially if you're just starting off, and that's who I'm speaking to right now. Like if you've just started off, and this could be you just started off thinking about hiring virtual assistants. You don't have to have like not sold your first product type of beginner. But you want to think about, you know, you don't want to be hiring off anything that is sales or strategic in your business, in my opinion. And these are the things that are usually going to cost more. They're more complicated, and you need to figure those things out, and you need to own those roles in the company, especially in the beginning. But everything on the list, everything else that is not sales or strategic, those are things that you should be looking to hire out, not all at once. So what I recommend once you've done that exercise is, and you've removed everything sales or strategic, I recommend starting with a generalist. And this is something that I directly took away from that coaching, is you want to hire a generalist who, this is usually someone that's the most affordable to hire in the beginning for a couple dollars per hour, even sometimes. And this person you want to, they need to, you know how to manage a calendar. They, you know, good organizational skills. They show up on time, and you can hand off tasks to them that will not bog you down. And these could be things like the software, you know, put together a comparison of these three softwares and tell me which one will be better. Or you got a software that's about to renew and you're saying, listen, go open up a case with them and ask them if we can get a discount if we renew. Otherwise we're considering going to their competitor to save you some money. These sorts of things like, my drive, my Google Drive, which is a true story to this day, like my Google Drive is a disaster. Like stuff's everywhere. And this is my personal drive. So go into my drive and get everything together, because every time I need to go in my drive to get a document, I'm spending 10 minutes, 15 minutes looking for this thing. Create automations in my inbox so I can actually effectively use email. These sorts of things. It goes on and on and on. In your Amazon account, it might be process these orders that came in, or your Shopify. This could be, you know, checking in with the person you have doing SEO on your site, or requesting the report from so-and-so. You get it. You go on and on. You want to get this generalist, and a side benefit here. First of all, some side benefits. You, one, are going to begin getting experience working with a virtual assistant. Two, this person is probably going to stay with you for a long time, and they're going to become almost like a second brain for you. And that is, this person knows the ins and outs of your business. I'll have my general, like a generalist VA, for example, sit in job interviews and share my thoughts on certain things. So they're constantly in the loop and knowing what's the overall goal that we're trying to hit. So I recommend that for most people. But what you do once you've gone through this exercise is you want to start trying to go, well, not trying to, you're going to go to each one of the things on this list and you're going to assign some values. And one of those values is going to be, how often do I do this? Hourly, you know, weekly, monthly, yearly, like how often is this happening? How much time does it take from me to do it? Is it 30 minutes, three times a week, for an hour and a half grand total per week? So 6 hours a month. You know, I'll put, assign those time values. And then finally, what is the access that you need to be able to pull this off? So if one of these, to give you an example, if one of these is unsubscribe from any newsletter subscription emails that I have coming in my inbox, and then resubscribe to them to a totally different email, because like you want to see these newsletters, but you don't want them flooding this inbox with this email. So you want this person to unsubscribe and resubscribe. And this just happens often. And say you want someone to go through and kind of, you know, clean your email, you know, once a week. And say this is hourly. Well, you know what? The person needs access to your email. They are going to need access to that other email to sign up. And you would just write that in under access. And you do that for everything. If you need someone to pull reports and consolidate reports from your Amazon vendor, you know, Seller Central account or Vendor Central account, then they're going to need their own login. So they need an invite. They're going to need user permissions. They're going to need access to Google Sheets if that's what you use, you know, or Excel, whatever, you know, whatever tools are going to be necessary for you to put all those reports together. And I write that down under access. And then next to each one of those on access, I put the skill level. So if I need someone to go get all of my reports at the end of the week and then just plug them in to a already built out Google Sheet with all the formulas in it and whatnot, that's entry level. Like we're talking about data entry there. But if I'm needing the person to do VLOOKUPs, to build out formulas and to create something, a structure that we can just plug and play in the future, that's high end, intermediate, or advanced. And that's going to be important in a second, because the next thing is hiring someone. So what doing this exercise does is it's going to give you, you're now looking at, oh, I see there's like 9 things here that I do that take up maybe, you know, 10 hours per week. They're all data entry. And the reason I'm harping on data entry and reports is you need to measure what's going on in your business at all times. And it's usually the area that is the least exciting, unless you're like my best friend, Ramon, who's been on the podcast before. And this guy just loves looking at data, and I get the importance, so I do it, but there's not this like deep passion for me in looking at this stuff. So, you know, probably you're like me and you're like that too. And you're just like, I do it. It's a necessary evil. I know how important it is, so I do it, but I'd love to have somebody else who's just like a total rock star at this and can just present me with the facts or the story we can tell from this data so I can make a high level decision. And that's pretty critical to do. So I pick the, you know, that as an example, because it's going to be most relevant for everyone there. But like, say you look at this and there's like 9 different things that are there. This really lets you know, wait a minute, I'm looking for like a data entry person here, and they need beginner level skills in Google Sheets. Oh, but wait a minute, this one other one requires intermediate. So now you realize I need to hire one VA to do a task or a project to build out this sheet so that my other VA, who I'm going to need every week for X amount of hours, can just do plug and play. So it builds out a roadmap of what you need. The other part of this is kind of like, when should you hire this virtual assistant? I'm going to get a little pushback on this, but I cannot emphasize enough how important it is that you hire as soon as possible in your business. The biggest argument for not doing this is the business can't afford it. And the reason for that is, when I hear that, what I immediately know is, okay, you are not assigning any value to your time. Because if you felt like you were doing $100 an hour work, then you would say, oh, wait a minute. Of course I'm going to hire this virtual assistant to do $6 an hour, 10 hours a week, because during those 6 hours, I'm going to be doing $100 an hour type work. I'm going to be opening accounts. I'm going to be negotiating better pricing. I'm going to be able to find more affordable capital and loans to be able to grow my business. Now, if you're just going to be running out to go playing Call of Duty, that doesn't work. Like, the math doesn't work. But if you're assigning some kind of value to your time and you're working on these 10X activities in your business, then you should hire a virtual assistant immediately, especially in the beginning. Finally, there's, I know a lot of confusion even to this day as to like, where is it best to hire a virtual assistant? And I don't think this is a topic that should be, you know, creating so much stress for a seller nowadays. There's a lot of great platforms and options out there, but here are the ones that are the my go-to spots. So one of them still is Upwork.com. I'll just give you my top three and then I'll break down as to when I go to which one. So there's Upwork. Upwork.com. This is, I keep telling myself, I'm going so fast in my head about this that I'm getting ahead of myself. So Upwork, Fiverr, and onlinejobs.ph. Those are the three. With Upwork, I usually go to Upwork when I'm looking for something like a role. I want someone to stay working for the company for a long time, and I really want to develop this role. Very similar to onlinejobs.ph. I used to be a huge fan of onlinejobs.ph, and that used to be my go-to spot. But what I've, and I still have active, you know, job postings out there for onlinejobs.ph, but it seems like, I don't know, it feels like that the caliber of people on onlinejobs.ph is lower than that of Upwork. And that's not, you know, .ph stands for the Philippines. That's zero to do with the Philippines. I just get this impression that it's more of a much younger, just joining the workforce type of thing. Whereas Upwork seems there's a lot more like seasoned vets with experience on the platform. And then there's Fiverr. So I even have my own Fiverr profile. If you go on Fiverr and you look up Big Spaniard, I have a Fiverr profile. I don't, as much as I love Fiverr, I struggle to see Fiverr as a spot where you go to hire somebody long-term for a long-term role in your company. You can find some amazing quality on Fiverr, but it is more of a, I have a project or a job or a task that I just need to get done to support the company or a role in the company. I hope this helps. Check out all three of them. There's definitely a lot more. There's, you know, guru.com. There's Mechanical Turk. There's a bazillion different platforms out there. VAA Philippines will probably be on the show soon. Lots of them out there, but those are my top three. And I hope this helps. I've been getting a lot of questions on the topic anyway, so like I hope this adds some insights. I know there's another, you know, part of this equation that is the risks that you take by bringing a team member in and how to mitigate them and the trainings. I'll do some episodes in the near future on this topic, so we might be able to string these together in a playlist. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this chat. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will talk to you next week.